This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Shout out to Lemons Heating and Cooling. They, you know what, we're cooling off finally. Might be there to stay as far as dropping out of those 90s. So that means you put a lot of work in with that air conditioner. Have Lemons Heating and Cooling check that out. Make sure everything's good to go. You don't want to mess with it next year when it's crazy to get a hold of these guys. 970-567-0798. Joining me now is our Buffs insider, Brian Howell of the Buff Zone. Brian, not a major shock. We wondered if it might happen. I kind of went back and forth on the whole deal, but the Buffs have moved on from Carl Durrell.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if the heating and air people can check and make sure things are okay with CU football.
You might need to get over there, man, because things are heating up and not in the good way. You do have to have a fire situation happening there. Brian, let me ask you, did you think that Carl was going to finish the season, or was this kind of a shock to you to see it happen? Again, they got the bye week coming up, so that makes sense.
Yeah, you know, coming into the season, I always, you know, people always ask, like, Carl's status, and I said, I thought he would definitely coach this season unless it was a disaster, and it was a disaster. And the way things were going the last few weeks, and especially that Minnesota game. You know, the first two games I thought, you know, they were kind of in it the first three quarters, and it kind of got away from them in the end, and it was a blowout. But the way that Minnesota game went, I thought, geez, if it keeps going like this, that's going to be really tough. And so it was really after that game that I was kind of on Durrell watch, and the way things have gone – I didn't think he would finish a season. I thought that this was the right time to do it.
Well, I mean, you get to the point where we look at the spreads and everything, and I know teams don't care about that, programs don't care about that, but every single week the line was like 21.5 or 22.5, and they weren't covering that, and that just kind of goes to show you how bad things really were getting. But what's the buyout situation look like, Brian? Kind of talk to our listeners a little bit about that, how much they'll be paying Carl Durrell to not coach their football team.
Well, it's to be determined. The maximum is about $8.7 million, and that's, he's basically owed the remainder of his contract, and that's $8.7 million. However, if he gets a job over the next 2 years, that cost mitigates that. And you know, he's a respected receivers coach in the NFL, and I don't, you know, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he's back in the NFL next year coaching receivers. I don't know what those guys make, but you know, let's say it's $500,000 a year. Well, that over 2 years, that could knock $1 million off of that. And, you know, there's going to be, you know, some, you know, negotiation going on. It's going to be a little bit smaller number than that, and we'll see what it is. But I guess to simplify it, the starting point is $8.7 million. That's the max that they could pay. I imagine it's going to be a little less than that.
Brian Howell joining us from the Buff Zone. Brian, I want to get to the list of who could replace him ultimately, but in your mind, just what you were seeing with Carl Durrell, I mean, you go from the weird year, obviously with COVID, but he was good. I mean, Pac-12 Coach of the Year, he was good that year. And then last year was rough. This year was just really bad. What went wrong ultimately? Is it the X's and O's? Is it his recruiting style? Is it his style, his demeanor? I mean, what went wrong with this guy? Because, you know, if you just sit down and talk to the dude, you love him.
Yeah, you know, he's a nice guy. I have respect for Carl, and I got along with him for the most part. Ultimately, I've thought about it a lot, and I think that he's just one of those guys that is a really good football coach, but maybe not the right CEO for your team. You know, and that's just and we see a lot of those guys, right? And I just don't think he's that. And you know, I think one of the biggest mistakes he made was never really connecting with the fans, and he doesn't sell the program very well. I think you have to do that in college. You see some of these coaches that are really good at doing that. He doesn't do that. And I understand that's not on the field stuff, but that helps generate excitement and helps kids recruits, things like that. On the field, I think that maybe, you know, his style offensively doesn't work in college. That's what I hear from a lot of people. And you look back, and it was just 1 year, but he was the OC at Vandy in 2014, and they were awful offensively. He got fired after that year. I know it's Vandy, and that's different. But back to UCLA days, they struggled offensively towards the end, and he got fired. So it just wasn't working. And you know, I think he has a lot of respect in the building, but for whatever reason, his formula was not producing wins.
Yeah, it's just amazing how time flies, but it also, you know, it feels like not that long ago he was hired, but then when you add this season in, it feels like a lifetime. Now, going forward, we look at what, Mike Sanford's going to be the guy right now, the interim head coach for this team. Does he have a realistic shot? If he can turn things around, could he potentially be the guy, or are we going to start going through this long list of the next candidates for the head coach for the Buffs?
I think for him to have a realistic shot, it's going to have to be a pretty dramatic turnaround to where, you know, I mean, they're not going to get to a bowl game at this point. You'd have to win 6 out of 7. And if you look at the November schedule, that's a murderer's row, no matter who you are, let alone this Colorado team. But, I mean, if they're 4-3 the rest of the way, that'd be an unbelievable turnaround. And you have to look at Mike Sanford. You know, even if they're 3-4, you'd have to say, wow, that was quite a turnaround. So I think, going in, I would say he probably does not have a realistic shot, and he'd probably look outside of the building. But, you know, we'll see how he does with this team. If he does a pretty good job, you've got to consider him.
Who are the candidates then? I mean, obviously, we'll see what he can do. The big names, you know, the flashy names that pop up. Obviously, Eric Bieniemy's name's going to pop up. You're hearing about the guy south of all of us with Troy Calhoun. Those are some of the other names. But what does that list look like? And in your mind, guys that you feel like might be favorites?
Yeah, you know, we're definitely at that stage. The beginning stage is kind of throw names on the wall, see what sticks, right? And, you know, so there's a lot of names that are going to be thrown out there. Calhoun's one, and he is, they've interviewed him twice. And, you know, from everything I've heard, he was, C was very, very close to hiring him to replace Gary Barnett back after the 2005 season when they hired Hawkins instead. But something went wrong there. He interviewed when Carl Durrell interviewed a few years ago. So, I just don't see Troy leaving, you know, that for Colorado. So I wouldn't put him there. But some of the guys I would look at is maybe like, you know, if you're looking like big names, you're looking like Gary Patterson, the former TCU coach who was let go last year and is now an analyst, I think, at Texas right now. And does he want to get back in it? It sounds like he does. That would be an interesting one because if he's hired, then his first game next year would be at TCU. So that would be kind of cool. But he's one. And you look at Tom Herman, the former Texas coach, is sitting out there. And he did a pretty good job at Texas. Gets fired because they have unrealistic expectations, and he didn't meet them. So he's a guy that I think would do great here. I look at maybe some group of five coaches that have had success. You know, a Blake Anderson at Utah State. I know they're having a rough year this year, but he's had a pretty good career. You know, guys like that I would look at.
Very interesting, man. It's going to be Well, I know, you know, Rick George saying, hey, this will be a powerhouse. I mean, what did you make of him saying that? Like, hey, we will get to this point where this program is a powerhouse. I mean, you wouldn't blame Buffs fans if they're kind of like very, very, very skeptical at this stage.
You wouldn't blame Buffs media if they're very, very skeptical. Hey, I think it's fine to say it. You got to dream that. You got to hope you can be a powerhouse. But this program is so far from being a powerhouse. Just get to 6 wins and make some bowl games every now and then. And not every now and then. Make them, you know, annually. It's not that hard to get to bowl games, yet Colorado has made it look very hard over the last 15 years. And they need somebody that just makes it not look very hard to get to a bowl game. And, you know, just find that and then think about becoming a powerhouse.
You're exactly right. Let's find a way to win 6 games, you know, 2 or 3 gimmies, and then pull off, you know, two or three tough games in our conference. I mean, that's got to be, and I hate that that's where the bar is, but you got to dream small before you can dream big, and that's unfortunately where the Buffs are at this point.
Yeah, for sure. And there's steps to this, and, you know, the bottom line is they haven't been to back-to-back bowl games since the early 2000s, and that's an unbelievable, you know, stat in this day and age when all you need is 6 wins, and there's about 2/3 of the country that goes to the bowl games every year. So you haven't been there more than once. You've been there twice in 15 years. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, no question about it, Brian. Well, the Buffs are off this weekend, so we get a long time to digest this news and look forward to see if Mike Sanford can do the impossible, man. Who knows? I'm certainly rooting for him. I was rooting for Carl. I root for these teams. I want these teams to win. It gives us, you know, positive stuff to talk about. We don't come in on Monday with just this rain cloud over our head after Broncos lost, Buffs lost, Rams didn't play, but Bears lost. It gets old, so I'm rooting for some wins here.
Yeah, you know, I am too, and, you know, as a beat writer, you know, we're impartial and things like that, and we truly are in some ways. But when you're around the people, you like the people, and you know, for myself, it's just much easier and more enjoyable to cover a winning team, you know. So I'm hoping for that as well. Mike Sanford's got a good personality. You know, I think Buff fans will at least like his personality. We'll see how he does with the results, but he'll be good to cover. So I hope that they can get things turned around. And for these players, just get some wins.
Yeah, no doubt. Brian, appreciate you jumping on the show with us, man, to help us make some sense of this move going forward. And we'll see what happens with Colorado the rest of the season.
We'll see. It's going to be interesting.
All right, man. We'll be following your stuff as well at Buff Zone. Appreciate you as always. Brian Howell, our Buffs insider. And there you go. Carl Durrell out after starting 0-5. And it's not just 0-5. It's the way you were losing those games. And, you know, you'd been there for a while. This was, not a while. This was year three. But I always just say this, Angel. You have to give a coach 2 to 3, preferably 3. Unless you see such an obvious step back that you're forced to move on before you hit that third year mark, before you hit your full third year. And unfortunately, like I said, I'm not saying that Rick George looks at the spreads and goes, "Oh, they're not covering ever," but that just helps us better define how bad they're losing. Right? They're not losing by a field goal. They're not losing by a touchdown. They're not losing by 2 touchdowns. They are losing. I mean, these games are over by the time we hit halftime. Other than the TCU game, which that was quickly over after halftime, every game has been just awful for this team once you get to halftime. So it was getting worse. It was just the decision-making, and then again, the players on the field, the play call, all of it just kept getting worse. And I certainly don't blame the Buffs because of the outcry, but the more I get into this, I don't really like firing a coach in the middle of the season. I don't, because the buyout comes into effect. You're paying him to not coach. Well, who is Mike Sanford? He was a Carl Durrell guy that he brought in here. So to me, it's all it is, 100%. It's not a move to help your program today. It's not a move to help your program next year, unless Sanford turns out to save this team. This move is to pacify the fans for the next 5 weeks, or whatever it is, 6 weeks. That's all this move is. And now you just spent money with this guy, and now you got another guy coming in. I'm just not a big fan of firing, unless it's like really, really, really bad, and not just X's and O's. And unfortunately, it was just X's and O's. I don't think they have complaints about Carl Durrell, the guy, just not his football style. Didn't work out. 33 minutes after the hour, Angel, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.